Welcome to Dwarf Fortress Roundtable, the podcast for all things dwarfy. My name's Jonathan.
My name is Roland.
I'm Tony.
And this will be episode 99 when you hear it. Hopefully this one will be released in a timely manner. I apologize for the unscheduled delay, but things happen.
Production delays.
It was the apprentice, Kevin. He no longer works with us.
I thought the Baron was forbidding export of podcasts, so we couldn't put it out.
That's what it is. So, we have had some stuff get dropped since we last recorded an episode. We have had version 50.12 come out of Dwarf Fortress, and we have had a corresponding release of DF Hack, which was kind of just a compatibility release. But so, yeah, closer and closer, right?
That's right, each day.
A little scared, actually.
What's scary?
Well, just the passage of time, I guess, is scary.
Oh, my lord.
We're not going to even go there, kid.
Yeah, you just...
Youngin'.
Kids, okay.
You kinder.
Holy cow.
So next month, they are still sticking to it, that they're going to release Adventure Mode in April. And we're looking forward to another Adventure Mode demonstration video coming out soon.
That's amazing.
Have you guys been playing with 50.12?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I think this is a good game.
Like in general,
I do. I do, just in general. I think people should play it. I feel like it's a good game, and you're sort of missing out if you're not. That's, I mean, I know it's, we haven't really talked much about that on the podcast, but that's my opinion.
Well, have you guys noticed any big differences during your gameplay between 5011 and 5012?
Searching for things seems to be pretty helpful, like being able to look for the I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's a search box, which is useful, and it's in a lot of new fun places. So that, I think, is pretty sweet.
More than the places that had it from the DF Hack searches?
Yeah, where all is it? It's in if you push U and you see a list of all the knobs that live in your fortress, you can search through them a little easier, which is pretty nifty-bandy.
Yep. Plus, it's even in the kitchen, so you can actually type in Cobra Man eggs, and then you see how many you have of them.
Okay, question for you. They live in your fort, right? The Cobra Men, the people. So do you, like, serve food in the tavern made out of their eggs? And is that okay? Is that, like, cannibalism? I...
You know, the implications are very interesting. I fully agree with you here. The thing is, I do kind of have to do something with the eggs because they keep laying them.
Well, sure. Yeah, exactly. You can't have a bunch of Cobra Men around.
And I try to not use them for food too much, but at this point I have almost 5,000 Cobra Man eggs because I keep ignoring them. So at some point, you know, it's just like omelets for everyone.
It could have been your daughter, but now it's your breakfast.
God. Well, as long as they're not fertilized, I think it's perfectly fine.
There's that DF Hack tool. I think it's just Nestbox that protects fertilized eggs, so...
Auto Nestbox, right? Yeah.
Is it Auto Nestbox or is it just Nestbox?
Is it? Oh, yeah.
The two commands, one of them automatically has hens claim a Nestbox and the other one protects fertilized eggs. I get mixed up which one's which. Let's find out.
That's pretty cool. I wonder, could you use your Cobra Men as, like, just make them into squads and then use them to the ones that go and occupy all of the goblin towns you conquer, and then you could basically create ultimately a world of nothing but Cobra Men forts.
I really like how you're thinking, because I'm exactly doing that. Like right now, as I'm playing, I am doing that.
Because who else do you send to occupy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Like I sent some Cobra Men, but mostly dwarves to actually make sure that there's no more soldiers that could oppose them. And then I send a single Cobra Man with some gear to just do it. And it works really good. It works really great. One got struck down once, but I have been conquering, I think, 4 different places already. And it's great. I love it.
I've just been raising the villages because I don't know how to properly occupy them.
Raise, R-A-Z-E or R-A-I-S-E?
Yeah, R-A-Z-E. Okay. I'm just bulldozing the villages wholesale because I don't really know what to... I don't want to waste a dwarf, but then when I send over a mini squad, they always kill it. So like if I send the milkers in or whatever, like they don't do well. How do you kill it down to like 10, or is it less than 10, or like what's your strategy for that?
I usually just send them to raid, which is not raising, so they don't destroy the site, but they attack openly. Because like the sneaking part is like, I'm not trying to sneak in and like steal stuff. I'm trying to actively eradicate the population in that place. So I'm not sneaking, and that works fairly well. And at some point you check the mission and they just go in there, steal some loot and come back. And then you can be fairly certain then that there's nobody left. Yeah.
There's no conflict. Got it. Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm in process of ruining everything for everyone right now. So,
well, for those who are interested in the difference, auto nest box is the FHAT command that has hens automatically claim a nest box, and nest boxes is the plugin that scans for and forbids fertile eggs, so that they won't be collected. So it lets them, the fertile eggs hatch it. So if you turn on the nest boxes, if you enable nest boxes, then it will protect fertilized eggs and you hatch them. So, yeah, and not collect them.
Nest boxes. There it is. Yeah, protect fertile eggs incubating in a nest box. Lovely.
Okay. That seems good until you forget about it and suddenly you have a explosion of like crocodiles or crundles, and suddenly you're in the millions and they clog your CPU.
I've got to figure out what I'm going to do about my food problem. Or it's not a food problem, it's a livestock problem. I guess I need to just start going through and gelding all the males.
Auto Butcher does pretty well.
Yeah, it does that, except I have like 7,000 meat now.
You just make it into prepared meals, and then when the caravans come,
you just
ship it all away, and then you take everything the caravan has.
That's another thing. The caravan has stopped coming because I'm now the capital.
Oh, well, that's not
great. Yeah, it sucks. I'm a capital with 85 people. I guess that the king died, and the civilization king died. So, I now have a king. I'm the capital with 85 people, and I don't have any caravans showing up to take all my stuff.
But do you have other civilizations? Because you can send out military squads and demand ongoing whatever the word is. And then those people will come with trading caravans. That's how got elven trading caravans going. Yeah.
What, like demand tribute?
Yeah, demand tribute. Demand ongoing tribute. Sometimes it's enough if you just send a one-time tribute demand. And then they know that you exist. And they ultimately tend to send caravans. And different civilizations tend to send different caravans. But also sometimes I do get one civilization, different sides send different caravans.
Yeah, it looks like there's a dwarven civilization that I'm at peace with and a human civilization that I'm at peace with.
So, wouldn't sending the military squad to demand tribute end the peace part of that?
Yeah, you would think so, but apparently you ask very nicely, because I've had a different dwarven civilization just straight up shoot me down several times and say like, nah, get out of here. And that's it. They don't really mind. Can just do it again.
I guess that means I'm going to have to figure out how to send a mission out. I still, in all the time that we've played Dwarf Fortress together, I've never sent out a mission to another site.
Oh, really? You've never attacked another site?
I've never attacked another. You know what? I may have done that once, but I don't know that anything good came out of it. So it's never been a focus of mine.
Wow.
So I don't even remember how to do it.
It's not hard. Just go on the world map, click on the thing, and that's it. And then you just say who goes, what kind of mission. You're done.
Click on the thing.
Off they go, and back they come.
The human town of oil babies. That's a good one.
Just raise it. You don't want that around. You don't need that.
I don't want to steal the livestock.
You do. That's how you get beak dogs.
Oil babies, the babies that you need to create to make baby oil? Is that what is happening here?
That's right. That's where baby oil comes from.
You need some oil babies and a screw pump. No, not a screw pump. A screw press. Sorry.
Cabraman oil.
So of my options, I have some red ones and some green ones. Does the red ones mean that I don't have those as options?
Hmm.
Well, squeeze me.
I clicked the settlement of oil babies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it, whenever it came up, there's a list of things that I can do. Raid, pillage, raise, demand.
You just click on the thing that you want to activate, and the green one is the active type of mission. So you just click on demand ongoing thing.
Gotcha.
Then
okay.
It gets green, and then you know it's the asking nicely.
Okay, so do I need to choose a squad to send out there, right?
Yes, just you can choose one or two. Sometimes I make just a single squad with just one idiot in it because, you know, just asking nicely doesn't need 10 people with steel weapons.
So I'm going to send the moist mirrors to oil babies to demand one-time tribute. Great.
Terrible, terrible names, but yeah.
It's happening.
Oil babies, yeah.
Cool. So we'll see what happens there. Because I do, I would like to get rid of some of my stuff. I've got lots of crap that I just feel bad about sending it under a Dwarven Atom Smasher, and I don't really have a volcano I can throw it all into at this point.
Mm.
I guess I need to dig down to the magma. my underworld kind of reminds me of a Japanese monster movie. I've got like five different forgotten beasts who are just fighting each other. In the caverns. The caverns are blocked off from my fortress. I discovered them, and then I sealed it up because I wasn't ready to, you know, explore them too much. All the forgotten beasts have cleared out all of the residents of the caverns, and now they're kind of fighting each other. There's four of them now, I think, currently. It's been interesting.
That's nice.
That is. That
Metal
is
Bent
good.
Is thriving.
Metal? It's called, excuse me?
Metal Bent. Yeah, that's the name of the fortress. And that was random,
bent
too.
Bent or
Bent? B-E-N-T.
Oh, okay.
As
cool.
In bent metal. Yeah.
Ah, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet.
I thought it's like with an A. You're like Scandinavian.
Well, it's got umlauts.
Oh, that's, no, it doesn't. That makes it metal. That makes even more metal.
Exactly.
This segment of Dwarf Fortress Roundtable was brought to you by Potato Bomb, creator of Sasha Sample Oris U Toast, Rushed Council, The Fell of Aquamarines. This is a Hematite scepter. All crafts worship is of the highest quality. It is decorated with turkey leather and encircled with bands of round citron cabochons. This object menaces with spikes of hematite, rope reed, and rose quartz. On the item is an image of dwarves in lapis lazuli. The dwarves are traveling. The artwork relates to the foundation of Metalbent by the strong standard of the Castle of Stops in the early spring of the year 5. Sasha Samkel Oris U Toast. Rushed Council, The Fell of Aquamarines. An artifact hematite scepter from Potato Bomb.
I managed to get war rhinos finally. I'm so excited. That's my big thing I've got happening now. I've got a healthy war rhino population.
Yeah. What are you doing with them?
Are they good? Have you tested them yet?
They're not bad. They're not bad at all. Yeah, they're not. They are not bad. It took me a little bit of time to figure out how to assign them to people in this version of the game. But now, yeah, I mean, I'm absolutely annihilating everything I go into. Like, I'm just steamrolling the goblins who decided to send in a little squad to attack me. Yeah, so now I'm just making them regret that.
Nice.
But yeah, so I think I figured out how to do it, and there's in the animal list, there's like a little icon, and you click it, and it takes you to your screen of all of your dwarves, and then I think you can click them, but my game crashes whenever many times when I do that. Oh. So I don't.
You're talking about like the U menu?
Yeah. So I'm not sure what's going on with it, but I was able to assign a few, but now when I try it, the game just crashes.
Bummer.
That's interesting. Okay, can you click on somebody that you want an animal assigned to, a soldier? Then you go to, let me think, labor?
You have to do it the other way around. I only know how to do it from the animal.
Interesting.
So if I find my person, if you just click the person,
uh-huh.
Like, I've got this guy, Hammerdorf, but I don't know how to do it from his screen. I don't know how to assign an animal.
You go to labor, and then there should be a...
To labor?
A small button that says work animals.
See, I don't have that on mine. Oh, work animals. There we go. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you ascend from there.
Maybe it won't crash if I do that. Okay.
Hopefully.
The other way seems to just crash the game. That's which is weird. Disappointing. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not loving that. But because I keep losing progress. It's sort of like one of those movies, you know, where on the Edge of Tomorrow or whatever, where he dies every single day and then gets killed again and again and again and again. And so, like, I've killed this goblin town to the left of me like 5 times. And then the game crashes and then it comes back to life. And then the squad kills it and comes back. And it's just, I feel for them. I really do. I've been killed like 100 times now.
This is like a time glitch.
You live and you learn, you know? You just get on with it.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, my goblins gave up, and now they're part of my civilization. That's...
Oh, they surrendered? Wait, did they? Can they surrender to you?
Yeah, they apparently can. I was very close to eradicating most of the northern goblins.
Mm-hmm.
I had, like, I think 4 places left, including one of them was the Dark Tower, not the Dark Tower, the Dark Fortress. Then the next time I wanted to send some, it was blue and I couldn't. And I was like, what is happening?
Oh, that's nice.
And it says now they're part of my civilization, which is very weird. And I wish I could have Legends Viewer back so I could check. Like Legends, what is going on? Because I'm not too keen on the vanilla Legend. I can't Mm-mm. work with that.
No,
because I would like to know if they actually claimed the title of queen or king of my civilization. These gobos, I think they did.
Oh, that's cheeky. That's very forward thinking of them. Presumptuous.
Yeah, I'm not too happy about it. That means I now get to go into the south. I built my bridge fortress, and now I'm working on establishing trade with the elves so I can start attacking the southern goblins. And it really did remind me that why trading with elves was such a pain.
They get so mad.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, excuse me, there was one cup with one single bone item engraved on it, okay? There's like 200 items. This is literally the trade of your life. And you just walk away pissed because there was one item with one bone. Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Well, they don't like bones either? I thought it was just wood that they hate.
No, they're such tossers. Back in the day, they were slightly less pissy about it, I believe, or they didn't really register it. But nowadays, they are very, very stuck
emo.
Up.
Yeah, they just need to be slaughtered.
Yeah, so even a single tooth or bone decoration on a metal cup. No, thank you.
Remember,
there
was a mod in the old days where you could have caravans even from goblin civilizations. Was that Mef's masterwork?
That seems odd.
It was odd, but they would trade with you as long as you weren't at war with them.
The goblins. I've never had them trade with me.
I could be hallucinating. This may be completely false. But,
I think you can have goblins that are part of civilizations and then they're not like representing the goblins and they can be traitors.
I think that's a thing that can happen.
Somebody's going to let us know. Cunningham's Law and all. What do you guys do when you, like, if you have a siege and then you kill everybody outside and then all their crap just kind of lays around outside? How do you go get that stuff? Because I haven't figured that out in this new version.
Well, there's two ways that I deal with it. One is use the unforbid tool and basically select the entire area.
Mm-hmm.
The other is use DF hack and unforbid all.
Yeah, I don't think it's forbidden. I just think it's outside, and so they're not picking it up, which makes me
then
curious.
You have to go into labor.
Your orders, your standing orders.
Your orders, exactly. It's like right next to the kitchen thing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then you have to change it to claim other dead items or whatever. And then they actually clean it up.
Okay. It's under the labor menu.
Yeah. Somewhere cool. there.
Later, I'm gonna go check that out. Standing orders and sieges and forbidding. Claim your death items.
Well, sadly, I've just my game has crashed again. Oh. I'm really excited for them to release the Mac version of this game. That would be amazing. I would take that over adventure mode. If anyone's listening, that would be preferred.
But talking about sieges, I have to say I did something that I've tried to not do previously, but it's like that meme with the bird, and it's like, get that thing away from me, and then it takes like a peck of the cracker and is like, and I have to say this is really good. I made a melt designated quantum dump, so my armor and weapon stockpile only takes exceptionally made items in. That means that all that bronze garbage automatically cannot be stored in there because it's never exceptional.
Mm.
So they bring it into the quantum dump, they chuck it down, it's like the normal setup with a MyCard and the thing and blah blah blah, and they dump it onto that new thing, and that is a stockpile that with DF hack designates everything that is in it with a melt designation automatically. So yeah, this is like an auto melt stockpile, and I don't have to clean out anything anymore. It's just like, just chuck it in there and it automatically gets melted down, and it's so nice. And now I have like 3,000 iron boss or whatever. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And I also have like a quantum bar stockpile. I always try to not do that because I thought to myself, oh, that's odd, you know, that's not a very dwarven way, but holy beans, it is a very dwarven way. I can store so many bars. I don't need any bins. It's
So did you say that there is no such thing as an exceptional or a masterwork bronze item?
The invaders, like human invaders, also the trading caravans will not really bring you exceptionally made items.
Gotcha.
They sometimes have like something that is well made, but never exceptional.
Yeah. So you're talking about like basically auto melting goblinite and trade stuff.
Yeah. Except for it's not goblinite. It's humanite. Yeah. Whatever. But it's basically, yes. And it's
humanite.
Yeah. Because I don't have any goblins anymore.
So that way you can make your mega project be an actual bronze colossus.
At this point, yes. Very much so.
Yeah, there was that tool, and I bookmarked it somewhere, that you can build a voxel model of something. And that would be pretty cool to do a voxel model of a dwarf or of a colossus, colossal dwarf. Still wanting to do a mega project.
If I make it big enough, I could probably put my fortress into a statue.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think that should be for our next 100 episodes, we should focus on on mega projects.
The next 100, okay.
Dwarf Fortress Roundtable is brought to you in part by David Eltzroth, creator of Shelridotten. The Trance of Minds. This is a frilly alpaca wool sock. All Crafts Worship is of the highest quality. It is encrusted with square brilliant cut red tourmalines, studded with iron, decorated with alpaca wool, and encircled with bands of iron. On the item is an image of dwarves and goblins in alpaca wool. The dwarves are refusing the goblins. The artwork relates to the defeat of the Hatred of Webbing of the Curses of Washing and the takeover of Lull Spiders by the Castle of Stops in the early autumn of the year 8, during the conquest of Lull Spiders. Shelrit Otten. The Trance of Minds. An artifact frilly alpaca wool sock. From David Eltzroth.
What is your quantum stockpile method? How are you doing that? Just in case other people... I've heard people talk about it, but don't really know. What are you doing for that?
Okay, this is surprisingly easy. All you need is a minecart. You have to make that already. And the other is just setup. So you need a hole in the floor, and next to the hole in the floor, you make a track stop. And the track stop has like arrows, and you designate in which direction you want this dumped. So if the hole in the floor is north of your track stop, it should dump north. And then you have this is the actual quote-unquote hard part, even though it's not really hard. You have a small item in your taskbar down. It's of a minecart. And I believe that the actual wiki has a way better explanation than I could ever give.
Okay, so people could go look on the... So that's actually, for the current version, it's in the wiki.
Yeah, the minecart hotkey is H, capital H.
Yeah.
Lowercase H is hotkey, capital H is the minecart key.
Yeah, it's in the wiki. It's just amazing. It's basically like a track stop. You put a minecart on it. You link the minecart stop to the stockpile using that minecart transport system hotkey. And then they just chuck everything that is in the stockpile into the minecart. And when the minecart is full, they just go like... And everything flows out into the hole in the floor, and then it can go wherever you want. Either that is straight up just a hole into lava, or below that is a stockpile that takes like bars, which allows you to have like two stockpiles, like a feed stockpile up and a bar stockpile down. And then you just feed bars into that, and you have like, I don't know how many bars I honestly have, like 6,000 on one single tile.
Does it even have to be a hole in the floor? I think that if you just make a stockpile that the minecart dumps into, the minecart will keep dumping onto it no matter how much stuff is in it.
Because the minecart will dump, it doesn't, you're saying it'll just dump it to a spot on the floor? Okay.
In front of it. Yeah, maybe you're right.
Maybe it will.
I prefer doing it above and below, because that enables me to have like a little bit of a... vertical setup, but
I'm posting to the Podcast Insight a picture here. This is in my industry level of my Dreamfort layout, and this was actually pre-set up in Dreamfort. There are several quantum stockpiles. This one that you're looking at happens to be a gem quantum stockpile. There's also an auto melt quantum stockpile that sits beside my smelter.
Maybe we could truly make it quantum and have the same stockpile accessible in multiple locations, following and honoring the tradition of quantum mechanics.
I should again say that I didn't set this up, so I don't.
It's you Dreamforted it.
Yeah,
We did a thing on Dreamfort, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked in detail about it because we're going to have Mike back on to talk about
Dreamfort. Yeah, yeah.
And I'll write this down to ask him how the quantum stockpiles are set up in Dreamfort. But yeah.
What do you guys do with all your cage? I'm total cage trap club now. But what do you guys do for getting rid of things in cage traps? Like, do you have a quick way to deal with that? Or, 'cause otherwise it feels like it's build a cage in a room, put it on a switch. You know, it just feels very slow.
Oh boy. I have things to tell you, my friend.
Yeah, I knew you would.
So we all know of my beloved invention, the dwarven toilet.
Yep.
I have to say that my current fortress, Sword Kingdom called, is probably the most devastatingly evil invention that I have ever created. It is basically a large open aquarium that has two dumping sites where I can dump people into said aquarium. And that aquarium had creatures living in it that would kill stuff that I would throw down. Even though the stuff mostly drowned, but sometimes the sharks got to them. And I found it very funny to have a shark tank. Nowadays, I have a freaking forgotten beast snake live in it.
Oh.
And I chuck down things down to the forgotten beast, and that just kills everything. I have killed, good lord knows how many humans in that aquarium, through various means, drowning, sharks, other creatures I chucked down, reptile men, troglodytes, too many livestock animals. It's a cyclops, another forgotten beast. It was, it's crazy. Okay, it's just a, imagine like an arena, and above the arena is a small hatch that is locked, and I can dump things through a locked hatch. It's crazy. It's amazing, and it's bloody, and it's devastating.
That is lovely. So when you dump things, are you just like, how are you doing it? You go to the cage?
No, it's a pit pond system where I just pit things through a locked hatch, and the locked hatch ends in the aquarium thing. So I just pit things. I don't use it. The cage remains with me up. My dwarves just go to the cage, take whatever is in the cage out, bring it to the locked hatch, and shove it through the locked hatch like, and then it falls into the aquarium, and then it gets ripped apart by my forgotten snake beast. It's pretty good.
Pretty effective.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I just counted. I have 87 things in cages right now.
No, wow.
Yeah, I'm the same. I was doing this thing of like putting rattlesnakes in with my goblins and laughing at that. But
I'm going to secretly share with you a picture of my under construction Colosseum.
Oh, yes, the Colosseum, yes.
That's how I'm planning on dealing with them.
Ooh, that's nice. That's
nice. That's very nice. Oh. That's so awesome.
That's pretty cool.
You know what? I may go ahead and leave this in the episode. So I'm going to describe it here. I may include this picture with this episode. So the idea here, you see the bridge that's in that picture of the Colosseum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, there's a bridge on the top side that we're going to call that the north side. And behind that bridge is a holding area for the what I'm going to call the gladiators. And there's a little stairwell there that they get loaded into that from below. And that will be, they will get loaded into the cages there. And the little switch that's on the outside that's in the observing area, that switch is going to be where the gladiator releaser will be. And the gladiator will release the cages and then release the bridge to fight whatever soldier happens to be out on the fighting floor. So I will trap a soldier. Wow. Or maybe a whole squad in the fighting area, and then release the gladiators so that we can have a nice fight. And that's going to be a big tavern. That entire surrounding area is going to be a tavern so that people can watch it and get horrified.
Oh, be careful that you don't get yourself some creatures that can break windows.
Oh, well, that'll be more fun, Captain.
That's funny. Now I wish you wouldn't have told him.
I may end up removing all of the wood there, not wood, maybe removing all of the walls, and just have the entire viewing area be just this one large pane of gem glass.
Make sure to smooth the walls, because otherwise I think things can climb up and cause you havoc.
Can things climb up glass windows?
I wouldn't put it past them. I don't know.
There's a good chance.
Although there's nowhere to climb up to, actually. Yeah, no, that's a one-story probably, thing. So
probably. I mean, they can climb up glass blocks, so...
That's fine. That's got a ceiling on it anyway. It's just one Z level. That's going to be my Colosseum.
Primo. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I'll record a video of it whenever it gets enacted.
Fight.
What's that?
I said fight.
Fight, fight, fight. Fight. Yeah, fight.
Dwarf Fortress Roundtable is made possible in part by a grant from Loghammer, creator of Zeril Dostob. The Fire of Clearings. This is a turkey leather low boot. All crafts worship is of the highest quality. On the item is an image of Rushed Council, the Fell of Aquamarines, the Hematite Scepter in turkey leather. On the item is an image of King Aeson Dentpost, the Dwarfen Crowns in sand pear wood. King Aeson Dentpost is admiring the crowns. Zeril Dostob. The Fire of Clearings. An artifact turkey leather low boot. From Loghammer.
I'll tell you one other thing I really am enjoying with DF Hack is stripped caged. That saves a lot of time.
Oh, yes.
I mean, a stripped cage.
Do you want to?
No, go for it. You tell him. It learn him on this one. He's going to love it.
Okay, so the thing is, if you, for example, have a soldier invader pop into a cage, then he's in the cage with his full armor on. And now you would assume that the dude is in the cage and you can tell him, yo, strip your armor off, or we will literally just let you go hungry and starve. And he's like, And then you get his armor. Like, just take it off, you know? You're in a cage. The game doesn't really likes when you do that. So DF Hack had like a thing, a command, strip caged, where your dwarves can actually access the caged person's clothing, attire, and armor. And they take it from them. And because it's dumping designated, they throw it away. So you can make like a dumping ground right next to it, and they gather it right there. But that means you can strip invaders of their armor and clothing, which is very important if you try to put them into like fighting pits, but
yeah,
you were not really interested in having a fair fight, you know?
Yeah, I think they've already lost by stepping in the cage trap, so the fair fight part's kind of done.
That is correct, yeah. And yeah, it's pretty good because that makes you able to just strip people of both armor and weapons, and then you can throw them to the beast and they're just, you know, trying to survive in your aquarium, and they're climbing like the walls and stuff while completely butt naked.
Bad luck.
Hey, I mean, that's what happens if you try to assault me.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ask you to invade.
Exactly. Well, I kind of did, but that's beside the point.
So strip caged. Mm-hmm. That is interesting.
Yeah,
that
you can do list and it'll show you the situation.
Yeah, or you can just type strip caged all and then you strip all of them. And it's pretty good. If you have like 30 people in cages and you're trying to pit them into a gladiator arena to fight against cave crocodiles, then it's not really a fun fight. If you put 30 people with bronze armor and weapons against cave crocodiles, because then it's, you know, the cave crocodiles are just going to get stabbed. But if you remove their armor and their weapons, then suddenly the fight is much, much more interesting.
Well, yeah, I've got a crap ton of stuff in cages. It's just like pages and pages and pages of it. I did strip caged list.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's because I've got about 70 goblins that have tried to invade my fortress all caged.
Weak.
They're waiting for the Colosseum to get finished so that they can become gladiators. Yeah.
You'll have a nicer time with them when they're stripped. They'll be a little bit more understanding of the current situation.
More squishy.
I would even go as far as to say that there should be some kind of cheesy, sketchy way to rearm them. For example, you dump them into a quote-unquote waiting position where it's just a stockpile of various low-grade weapons. Like, oh, this is the gladiator waiting room. You just
like the real gladiators, right? Yeah, green room for them.
Like, take a weapon and you have like, I don't know, jagged axes or some weird stuff.
If you profess to believe in the users, you will receive the standard substandard training. As a Tron quote for those who missed it.
Legend.
I know. All right. So also, let's see what else I had here. I had a couple things that I wanted to talk about. They were talking on Strange Mood about somebody who had put an actual produced song based on a Dwarf Fortress description. I think it was on Reddit. Anybody remember that? Anybody hear about that?
Yeah, I didn't. I listened to it.
Yeah, it was kind of spooky. So yeah, that's kind of. I'd like to try something like that. At least read the entire description of it because it's pretty intricate.
Oh yeah, he also had a fairly good piece of music to work with, because when I look at my pieces of music, they're a little bit less. They're not that. Where is it? They're not that cool. For example, we have basically two musical forms in my fortress, but only one has a dance, and this one doesn't even have like the whole rhythmic thing that he had going on, because he had like a lot of rhythmic phrases where writes out what the rhythm is, but mine is just 5 pieces long, and that's it.
I just wonder if your fortresses just are not very, are not encouraging creativity. You're so militant that, see, mine's here. It says that the saffron berries is a form of music, blah, 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 blah. The music is played on a arir, a cog, and a zethrunk. The musical voices bring melody with harmony and is performed using the Isaac scale and in the fur rhythm. Throughout, when possible, composers and performers are to make trills. And so the arir always does the main melody, the cog always does the main melody, and it should be passionate, and the zethrunk always should be spirited. And it gives like full descriptions of how the different melodies and the different parts should be intertwined.
Yep.
And yours don't have that?
Oh, no, I do have that. No. I'm just talking about the beats, because my... Mm-hmm. My music, the human music, funny, also gives me like a pointer to how the beat works.
Right, yeah.
But his music that he based his video on had like a lot of different beats.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just trying to say that he had a good piece of music while mine is kind of standard-ish. It still works.
Ah, gotcha.
But he had like a lot of information to go on.
Gotcha. I misunderstood you. I humbly apologize.
That is okay.
Do they get more artistic if you have a library where the scholars are writing books? Because I've got a library, but my scholars don't ever seem to write anything.
Hmm. I think it really depends on the scholar that you put in, because the thirst for knowledge is important. If your scholar is not really interested in knowledge at all, then he's not going to hang around the library.
Yeah, he's probably just going to be drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you have like a scholar that is interested in knowledge, then they're more likely to spend time in the library and then become better at that and discuss it more. But I don't think they increase creativity in the sense that they make new music. I've never really seen that happen.
Hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little sad, but...
I did want to, so we've talked about DF Hack quite a bit, as we do, but I did want to single out for our DF Hack corner today just to talk about the DF Hack notification panel, which I believe was released with that big release that Mike was on here talking about. And at least this is the first that I've really noticed. It was over the last couple of days that I've been playing, but do you guys know what I'm talking about? The DF Hack notification panel?
The thing in the bottom left that says 2 starving, dehydrated, or drowsy units are on the map. Yeah, it's really awesome.
It is awesome. You can now click it. And if you have a dwarf who's working on a artifact, you can click that and it will just take you there. If you have a dwarf that's stranded in a tree somewhere, you can click it and it will take you to him.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Yeah,
if you have invaders on your screen, it will tell you how many invaders happen to be on the screen, and you click it, and it will take you to them. It is really awesome.
I'm thinking that's a good thing to have.
Yeah. This it says DF Hack notification panel, so this is not a vanilla thing. It's a DF Hack thing. So yeah, I just wanted to talk about how excited I am about that feature.
Very worthy of attention.
Pretty freaking awesome.
That's very worthy.
That's true. Yes. Especially the stranded thing is very practical. Although it doesn't show me Forgotten Beasts, maybe I have to configure it properly.
You're right. It doesn't. I don't know that it does show you Forgotten Beasts.
No,
I had one that was rampaging through my fortress and I didn't know it until my FPS dropped to 0. And then I was like, oops.
But you can already get to those through the creatures menu.
That's true.
There's already a way to get to that. Yeah. What's that?
It shows me giant moles because it says item stealing creature on map. And I'm like, huh? And I clicked on it and it just like a giant mole. And it's very cute.
Yeah. So you can configure it by clicking the little asterisk that is on the edge of that panel. And I think Control A brings the panel up or not. It will toggle them all on or toggle them all off. Yeah. Anyway, so along with the other things that we talked about earlier, will be our DF Hack Corner for today.
Beautiful.
All right, guys. Anything else that you just burning to get out of your mind right now?
I don't think so. I'm loving it. Having a good time.
Yeah, You know, I just want to say that I had so much luck when it comes to Forgotten Beast. At the start, I just had Forgotten Beast with webs and wings, and now I actually get some cool ones. And I had two different Forgotten Beasts that look like snakes.
Ooh.
The last time it was a glass cobra, a glass king cobra.
Neat.
Glass?
Yeah, made of clear glass.
It's probably not a good thing to make your cobras out of.
No, it really
was. Rock at them, yeah.
But that one was really cool. However, it now got replaced by Segu. Segu Dungsgland, the Untamed Wanderer. And not only is that an amazing name, Segu is probably the coolest three-eyed massive serpent that I have had so far.
Wow.
I like Segu very much. Segu lives now in my aquarium. And Segu has become a part of my imaginary snake cult that I'm trying to cultivate. It really doesn't, because, you know, that's not how religion works in the game. But I like to imagine that my snake people believe that their creator god is the glass cobra, and that the glass cobra has been usurped by Segu. And I've made statues about it. And it's pretty good. I like it.
Cool. You'll have that to send us a description from your statue.
I like it.
Oh, yes, I will.
You made about it, yeah. Okay, so I think that's going to wrap up this episode of Dwarf Fortress Roundtable.
I think we got it.
99, I believe, if I'm counting correctly. And yeah, everyone out there, if we got anything wrong, let us know. Please feel free to, and we encourage you to join the Discord. You can find a link in the main menu at dfroundtable.com. And we hope you have a wonderful period of time until you hear us next time. And good luck, and dig deep, right?
Dig deep. Cool, guys.
Bye.
This has been the Dwarf Fortress Roundtable Podcast. You can find all our past episodes at dfroundtable.com. Stop by and leave a message or suggestion in the comments section for this episode. While you're there, you can subscribe to Dwarf Fortress Roundtable or find us in the podcast service of your choice. If you'd like to contact us by email, the address is urist@dfroundtable.com. That's urist@dfroundtable.com. If you'd like to interact with the hosts and listeners of the podcast, you'll find a link to join our Discord server in the main menu of our website. If you'd like to help support this podcast financially, you can find us at patreon.com/dfroundtable. This is a conversational podcast. All craft swordship is of the highest quality.
Thanks, Delfonso.